Hi everyone, Zethu Zwane here from Black Plateau Health and Wellness Lifestyle Blog. I am your health and wellness enthusiast, and this is Zwane's Fitness Mission, which is the extended podcast for Black Plateau. So we've just been having a series of conversations on emotional clutter. If you're new here to my episode, I am on a season where we're talking about emotional clutter, physical clutter, beliefs that are driven primarily by coping mechanisms as a result of trauma in our lives, failure, dealing with the emotional cost of change. This is something that became particularly important to me. Of course, as I keep on saying, before the pandemic, I went on a self-discovery. I had to face some real truths myself because I am quite a driven person and a perfectionist. But it resulted in a lot of mental health issues such as panic attacks, social withdrawal. And so when I joined the wellness organization here in Eswatini, Southern Africa, this became something increasingly big for me to deal with. I felt as though in order for me to write really substantial and heartfelt truths in my wellness newsletters, I had to be honest with myself as an individual, just to say that what does it mean to go through personal discovery, and what does it mean to actually journey this wonderful experience we call life. So today, I'm going to be talking to you guys, continuing that conversation, about a previous blog post that I wrote on my blog, and it is titled, Feeling Overwhelmed with Physical Clutter? Here's why you need to start journaling. And this conversation, as always, it stemmed from some of the trainings that I am blessed to be a part of in terms of wellness and health trainings. It's based on conversations that I keep having and just the continued need to continue the conversation to empower individuals in this moment of mental health, increased mental health issues. There's also the realization that, you know what, during this pandemic, prior to pandemic, before the pandemic, we have all been experiencing seasons in our lives. And sometimes in that season, we don't realize, you may or may not realize, that the emotional cost of change, the emotional growth of change, or the emotional journey in that moment can have quite big effects onto your mental health, your emotional well-being. And I'm just here, obviously, just to spread a little bit of wellness love to you guys and encourage you guys to take on these few tips that I've included into this article and this podcast episode that I've really found to be quite great at helping you just relieve a common thing such as perceived stress, as well as panic attacks and anxiety. So I have one disclaimer. As always, if you feel like you're experiencing severe panic attacks, you feel like you can't move, you feel hopelessness, increasing hopelessness, please do speak out. The right people are there for you. And sometimes, because we are in a space where this is a global heartfelt moment and mental health moment, the best people for you are registered practitioners. Never be too scared to go out and seek a help of a mental health practitioner. I definitely do understand that sometimes having them ask you so many questions might result in panics, but just allow yourself to realize that sometimes panic attacks is a result of, you know, we have a fear of how am I going to be judged. Those people in registered practitioners, that's their job. They were trained to be very honest with you and caring and care for your where you are in your emotional space. So I definitely do say that is my disclaimer. And if you do feel very severe, you have suicide thoughts, please go out there and find help, seek help. If you feel like it's affecting your family members and your relationships, I do again encourage people just to go out and seek help, because it is one way that we could all, the more we help each other, the more we help ourselves, the more I feel like we can help the global world heal, especially during this time. Because as I was preparing to write these articles, I was not even preparing for the pandemic, to be honest. But now I feel like, considering that we are in the space where we're feeling different variants of the global effect, I do believe that you are valued as an individual. So go out there and get assistance. Then another thing, as always, if this post does contain affiliate links, and if you do buy anything from those links, you won't pay a penny more, but I will get a small commission, and I only ever try and suggest products or items that I would also use. Okay, let's begin this with a quote. I love quotes, beginning my blog post with quotes. I just find them so fun and enticing. So I hope you also like this one. And this quote goes by saying, take the time to jot down why men are horrible. Made me realize, wait a moment, I haven't been playing mind games with anybody. And so, like, who should text who first, and helping me to text back on a constructive journey. I also don't judge most people for their personal journey, but I will always lovingly tell them that they are on a destructive path before allowing them to make their own decisions. If they're on a destructive path, making them realize that there's an emotional cost to believing that dating is a game. Your feelings is not a game. And the worst part about it is, and that trophy is that one person loses, and that trophy is being worshipped. It's not because, like I always say, we were never meant to make ourselves demigods and have the other human fix our sadness, loneliness, and depression for us. Close quote. That's kind of a long quote. Anyway, so in the same way our bodies gain weight, signaling to us that we're kind of out of state. You know, you might have been in quite a busy new chapter in your life, maybe a new pregnant mom. And all that busyness means you haven't been fueling, eating, you know, wholeful food for yourself. You might be in a new relationship or you might have changed jobs in this moment, lost your job in this moment, or whatever chapter you are in your life. You might be pretty busy emotionally and don't have the time to take care of yourself. So in the same way that weight gain is just your body signaling to you that you're just out of whack, physical clutter is also one of those many signs that mental health wise you might have been just a little bit out of your taking care of myself game. You see, as always, I say your health encompasses body, mind, and spirit. So the clutter you build up in your home, beliefs, health, or emotions is simply an imbalance occurring in your life. The more we tell ourselves that, hey, this weight gain is just, I haven't had the chance to look after myself. It's been really busy at work, so I can't leave my desk, and, you know, drinking a Red Bull is more convenient. It will actually make weight gain. Don't punish yourself for that weight gain. It'll make it more accessible to you to forgiving yourself and then just saying, hey, you know what, maybe I should just carry a bag of almonds, just maybe buy. I know in Eswatini, in Manzini, we have a lot of vendors who come with bananas and oranges. Go and grab those bananas and oranges. They are very affordable. It's like one mling and it's like 50 cents, you know, like 50 cents in US dollars or whatever, like less than that actually. So it doesn't cost much to, you know, grab those whole food, but good for you, your body kind of foods. And that's what the reminder is. So one of my favorite resources on my Pinterest page is my self-care board. And because it doesn't demonize the mess that you might be experiencing, the physical clutter, it simply reminds you that, oh, hey there, you allowed a couple of tough days become clutter in your life. Before giving you top 10 tips to reversing that mental health habit, hitting your body, mind, and spirit out of sync. That's what it's all about. And I would absolutely love to encourage you if you feel as though, oh, there I go again, I'm just out of whack. Guess what, honey? It is a lifelong journey. When I became a young manager, I'm still a young manager. I feel like I've been a manager just for a year. I just realized how important it is to look after yourself. So even before you get to that level, take on these practices right now, because there are so many more responsibilities. You're not responsible only for your duties and the reports and the individuals that you have to report to, but the people that have to report to you as well. How are their leads going? How are they finding it? Are they finding it difficult? So taking care of yourself it can be an overload, and it can instantly change within a week to seasons. And life is all about that. Unfortunately, for many of us, sometimes you find that, you know, we don't grow up maybe in homes where parents explain to you, and communities where you explain that in like high school, some schools don't do it, where they explain to kids that, you know what, change is inevitable and change is normal, and then putting it into the curriculum so that the person doesn't get agitated and disappointed and then angry and then frustrated when situations change in the home, but that individual may continue to be empowered. That individual may continue to be empowered to realize that, you know what, change is so normal, and I'm just living the basic human life. You know, sometimes we need to remind ourselves that this every human is going through change. So that's what those 10 tips are. That's what that board is really good for. If you want just like really short, quick tips, I really love it because I divided them up into two posts. One where there's the blog post and then one there's that. So anyway, let's continue. But you say that here you come up, you're overwhelmed. So let's say you're now in this place where you're overwhelmed by the different types of clutter in your life. And I wrote about a blog post about this, different types of clutter. There's personal clutter. You're still struggling with your self-worth. You're defining who you are. And sometimes when you awaken to that idea that, you know what, I'm not these labels these people keep putting on me. There's a journey that you have to go through, because I don't know about you guys, but I know I definitely got a bit agitated with people still defining me and like, where did they get those ideas? And sometimes you want to actually physically ask them, where did they get those ideas? But I think I have found the most powerful thing that you can do is continue. Well, if you define yourself the soft-hearted, understanding, continue to communicate that to individuals. And all of that takes time. One individual I really appreciated, actually I just watched it recently, was from Catch Me If You Can, a presentation by Google. And I've forgotten the individual's name, but he was based off on that movie of Catch Me If You Can. One thing that really resonated with me, a lot of things that resonated with me, I loved, but the one of them, he was saying that he had to work really hard to get people he had to work really hard to work on that self-conception that he's a new person, he's not who you think he was, and that he's here to do good for the FBI, right? So he's in one aspect, he's there to do good. His name is Frank. Ooh, that is a nice surname. Okay, Frank. Okay, I have no idea how to say his name, but his name is Frank, and he's based off on the movie Catch Me If You Can. A guy who used to forge a lot of incidences, and then he turned and worked for the FBI. And obviously turning that situation around, you don't have to be that kind of extreme case, but maybe being let down as a child, I know for a lot of personally as well, being defined as a strong individual, a lot of the times people didn't give you, being defined as strong, they didn't give you the space to be just a child and cry and allow pain to run its course in your life, you know, in your space, so that you can grow fully. So instead, because being defined as a strong person, you might have also developed maybe coping mechanisms. They can be communicated in different ways. You could be a perfectionist. You could be a person who withdraws very easily during high tense moments, or you could have extreme rage. So sometimes it's harder to explain the world who you are, but it's much more easier to redevelop yourself and go through those personal clutter. Once you start releasing that one, then you can start communicating to the world, I'm actually not a person full of rage. It was just that maybe it made it easier for me as a child to take on those labels, because people didn't understand me. They didn't take the time to see that it's not okay to label as a child as wrong, as strong. So that meaning that you disregard the emotions and feelings. All of that is your sole purpose in life to uncover, and your sole purpose in life to redirect and communicate and learn how to teach people how to love you and care for you as an individual. All of that is part of emotional boundaries, but over here we're just talking about when you're in the state of overwhelm. And so you're overwhelmed by those incidences, and all of that creates what it is an overcoming, what it means to overcome that physical and mental clutter that now they're meshing and being muddied together. I always say that there's a lot of aspects that we draw from around the globe, and then we bring them into our one space. And so it takes time to undo all of those messy beliefs that we have of each other. So I first wrote a post about how to overcome physical and mental clutter, but this post focuses on the major issues, that is anxiety and stress, and how to overcome them. So in my previous podcast, I wrote about how to begin showing up for yourself. And I said that, you know, one of the most sincere and sweet moments is I had fallen off maybe the Christian wagon. You can call it my relationship with God. It's not a doctrine. You know, he's all about dealing with those emotional ties that we have, and how they not hinder us per se, but maybe limit our ability to have flourishing relationships with people. And so I was experiencing like perceived stress and anxiety quite a lot. Being a perfectionist is not good, because you know, you go through a lot of expectations. And I wrote about that again, and I said that I mentioned again in my toxic relationship episode, where expectations actually then creates cognitive dissonance in us, because there's going to be a lot of contradictions that happen in reality. And sometimes we have to deal with those expectations that we have. So one of the most precious things that I came across was, I kept on getting this verse, who gave you a spirit of fear? You know, who gave you a spirit of fear? Haven't I called you strong and courageous? And I wasn't the person who was reading the Bible, but I was, you know, praying. I decided to have goal-setting prayers. And my goal-setting prayers were based on my emotions. I tend to panic, you know. What is this issue? Please give me discernment. You know, that kind of prayer. And so I was also in a very high stressful environment. Obviously, a high-pressure environment. Sales is like that. And I think it's good to have experience how to work in sales, because I think there's a lot of adaptability and evolving that is required of you. So the emotional cost that was needed to stretch those muscles led me to have, let's say, distinctive type of prayers. And so God, instead of giving me like, oh, here's how to, you know, here's some journaling like I'm going to give you guys, he wanted me to focus first on who has first who gave you the spirit of prayer, as a way of saying that he himself would never give us a spirit of prayer, but maybe our environment and our upbringing and the way we perceive the world, our expectations that are toxic in some ways, give us this, creates the spirit of fear. So then I went on finally and I was like, what is this? This is a verse. I know this is a verse. So I went and I Googled and I just put it in, and then it pops out. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." Now, some bodies in this house might think that power might mean you might need to flex on somebody. Nope. Power is just another word of courageous, of courage, right? So maybe this one, I prefer the New Living Translation Bible verses. I always go and research those ones. Another one might actually tell you power is actually courage. So that's what it meant, because then it made me realize that I'm maybe there was like a big project that had to be done, and I felt the overwhelming feeling of being new as a manager, of being new in this space, and then all of a sudden being overwhelmed by fear. So every time it kept on popping up, but who, haven't I not given you a spirit of courageousness, or who has given you a spirit of fear? I finally had to be like, oh, what is going on? Like, why do I keep, I don't even know this Bible verse, like what's going on? And so that helped me to then proceed on that one. Another thing that I'd love to highlight is the fact that it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love." Now let's focus on love. You cannot maybe we cannot fully love an individual, and if we think that loving is an exchange. So remember that quote that I set up at the beginning, that we sometimes do a lot of things because there has to be a trophy that's given to us. There has to be a medal that's given to us. We need to be elevated and worshipped on this earth. Unfortunately, having those kind of beliefs, you know, there's a lot of moments in our lives where God is the complete opposite of that idea, in the sense that what is serving somebody, let's say if you're a leader, you're not there to be, you know, praised and I'm a national leader, I'm at the top, but you know who I talk to every day, you know, it's not about that. It's merely about understanding that you're here to serve others more than to serve yourself. And unfortunately, I believe that in God's eyes, the higher up you go in life, the more that you have to be willing to serve other individuals' interests as opposed to your interests, you know, or serve God's interests actually more than anything, than serving even the world's interests, I believe. So that was also another one of it. The most powerful thing that I believe anybody can do in starting to live through that one is understanding why unforgiveness will actually create a mirror event of what happened to you. You will go out there and do the exact same thing to somebody else that hurt you, right? You're going to create a full circle of that thing. That's what unforgiveness does. It prevents us from letting go and letting God, you know what I'm saying? And it morphs that, and it can be seen in all kinds of ways. The unforgiveness, maybe you felt you're mistreated at home, maybe you felt that you are mistreated amongst your friends, you don't have friends that actually listen to you quite well. That the problem with that is, let's say if I have friends that don't ever listen to me, they never ask me what I'm doing in my life, right? So I feel unloved, and I feel now I feel old, because indirectly, without knowing, and that's when we have to have those honest conversations, because I could indirectly feel like I feel old for the attention that I give you. I give you concise, long, constructive messages, and you never respond back to me with proper message. I mean, like, look at this. I'm scared today. And for the first time, I want advice from you. You answer me with, oh, and then you want to talk about yourself. what that ends up happening, because I haven't dealt with that one. Let's say I didn't go talk to my friend and say, hey, you know what, you do this thing, I feel very lonely, actually more lonely when I talk to you than when I don't talk to you. And it's because I actually need advice in this situation. Please look at your, you can screenshot it, not to be malicious, but you can screenshot the conversation and say, please look here, I actually, for the first time, I needed advice from you. You just totally disregarded me. You have this habit where you talk in short form, but when I give back to you, when you need help, I give you very in-depth response. And so that's normal. That's going to happen in a lot of your relationships at work, in your family, your friends, your intimate relationships. It's going to happen quite a lot. The most powerful thing that you can do is understanding that. Then if you, let's say, so you were supposed to do that, but some people don't do that. So they end up, maybe you end up with another friend. You do the exact same thing to that friend that maybe friend A didn't do. So you go and you find friend B. Friend B always listens to you. So you go on, you talk, you rant for like 5 days. And you don't even ask friend B how are they doing. They've just maybe lost a friend. They maybe didn't pass school. They're anxious about the exams. So what ends up happening is, if you don't teach other people how to love you, you end up doing the exact same thing that they do to you. You know what I mean? Like, so it's, you're bouncing in between, you know, disregarding someone, feeling disregarded, your feelings are disregarded, to disregarding someone's feelings. But if maybe you can teach friend A how to love and care for you, like, hey, you know what, I really give full constructive responses when I message you. I'd really appreciate it if you gave me full responses, right? I feel like that's how I want to be cared for as a friend. If that is a real friend, then they will start to realize, hey, I tend to do that a lot. I come and I just put my emotions, put my beliefs, I exhaust this person. And then when I'm done exhausting myself and I feel free, I just walk away. I don't even ask them about their situation. When you learn to forgive and then you selflessly love those individuals by setting those emotional boundaries, it'll help you not to do that to someone else. And then self-discipline again. Self-discipline, I sometimes feel like it has to do with understanding who you are as an individual. Let's say if you are impatient or angry, sometimes, or you, maybe for this one, because it's based upon God has not given you a spirit of fear, I think that self-discipline, and I will go and, you know, study and pray about it a bit more, might have to do with just building that emotional spirit of courage, you know, being able to speak up for yourself. Don't diminish who you are as an individual, but do it humbly. And I think that's why courage, love, came, are all put together there, because they all make sense. No one ever receives anything when it's said to them in a very humiliating, diminishing kind of way. But if you can empower yourself first by giving yourself the courage, empower yourself first by understanding the balance of love, communicate to people how you want to be loved, so that you can also see, like, oh, I do the exact same thing to my friend. And then you can empower them by loving them, by encouraging them to have their space to speak to you as well. It'll give you that self-discipline as an individual to see when you are overwhelmed by emotional clutter and when you can release that stress and anxiety. So where does emotional clutter begin? Woo! It began at the start of Adam and Eve, trust me, because you know, when you read the Bible again, maybe like when you read it just one more time, you kind of see that there was emotional clutter. Who was it? Cain and Abel, one of them killed the brother. And you're just, and God is also confused. God looks like, okay, but why did you do it? You know, and there's no reason. Or he lies and he says, where's your brother? And he's nowhere. And he says, wrong. His blood is crying through the soil, you know, like it's seeping through the soil. So I believe, sometimes I like that story because then it makes me feel like there's, you know, we were complicated from the jump. You know what I'm saying? We were complicated from the very beginning. And maybe part of that journey is releasing, maybe blaming your parents for your anger, releasing your parents from the anxiety and how you were brought up and that trauma maybe some individuals have experienced. but then also then taking up on the fact that I am responsible for myself now, and I choose to free myself from this emotional clutter. So now you're at this space, maybe you're overwhelmed. An emotional clutter partially has to do with perceived and actual stress. The website Health Assured says perceived stress is different. It's more about your feeling about the lack of control and unpredictability than the actual stressor. And who else has been feeling this one recently? I know the reason why I had to write about this and then do this podcast is because, you know, my friends and I were talking about, man, I'm tired. Like, when are you taking your time off work? I mean, it's just literally the first month of the year. But I know a lot of other health and wellness organizations have been releasing the numbers of increased mental health. I think we are all drained from the previous year. You know, when it's like when you were, has anybody been chased by a dog when they were little kids and you're running, let's say you're on your bike, there's that increased adrenaline, you know. But then at the same time, you know, when you're on the other side of the street, let's say you had to go through and the dog chased you and then gave up on you, so you made it on the other side of the street, there's a lot of, like, you can feel physically tired from that experience, like physically tired. And so that, I think in a lot of ways emotional clutter could be just that journey of maybe an overwhelming period in your life, and then you feel extremely tired. Sometimes perceived stress, I have a really funny example of this one. When I was writing the article for April is Stress Awareness Month in Eswatini, and I remember the funny thing is, before I started writing the article, they told me a certain family member is coming to visit, and I was so stressed out. I was angry. I did not want to see this person. Why is this person coming? And 2 hours I'm sitting there, even before I started writing the article, and my body felt drained. And I was so happy it was a Friday, because I was unproductive. There was nothing that I could do. I literally had to stand up, go take a walk, go drink some water, and then be like, you know what, this relative hasn't even arrived, and I feel like I could sleep, and it's only like 2 p.m. But I could sleep right now. If I could sleep right now, I would wake up the next day 100%. I was that exhausted from just thinking about, why is this person coming? Why did they have to tell me she's coming? Why can't I just lie to myself and be like, you know, which one would have been worse? Me having to see this relative the day, just waking up to that voice, or, you know, the anticipation of it. So I think that's how powerful your body is, you know. And so if we recognize, the more we recognize our perceived stress, I think the more we can save ourselves from some emotional clutter. Other ones we couldn't avoid, I think the pandemic is definitely one of them. I feel like it's like holding on to yourself during those really difficult months. You're not really realizing that you're not living and you're not actually breathing, because every day it feels like a risk stepping out the house. I particularly was going to work, and you don't realize the fear that comes with it. Even if you don't have the fear, reading the papers and it was just absorbed into the very soil of this earth. You couldn't escape thinking about it. So once it feels like it's a new year, things are getting a little bit better, honestly. Maybe, okay, things are partially better in Eswatini, not all the way better. And I think because maybe the pandemic for us, it's been experienced in a very different kind of way. People have still lost their jobs, so it doesn't take away from, I still believe that because our numbers are still far less, but we still have the economic cost of that one. So I don't think we can escape that complete fear just yet, because the worry, the panic, the anxiety, there's an increased feeling of, I have to perform 10 times as much, because you're not really certain what's the economic outcome going to be. And so that can cause a lot of emotional drainage in our lives. So sometimes we don't even know that we are actually feeling this way, because you will always see me say or hear me say over here on this podcast that some clutter is belief. A lot of people think it's the, I don't even want to comment on this one, but a lot of people might think it's the end of times, and there's just an overwhelm of information and overwhelm of everything. And sometimes I feel like the best thing that you can do for yourself is just let go and let God. Just recuperate yourself with a little bit of things and the strategies that I will have included below, and asking just God for the basic protection and thanking Him. And I think on a spiritual level it's really complicated to actually know why this took place, but on the human level, maybe one of the best things that you can do for yourself is begin to learn, like I said above, who gave you the spirit of fear, and by that will hopefully encourage you to just know that you're under God's protection, and so that you can begin to deal with your emotional side of, let's say, change the emotional side of emotional clutter, the emotional side of the overwhelm. Because there are people put in place, there are scientists working on this one. So as opposed to like how I felt with my aunt, feeling overwhelmed, stressed, and just incapable and fearful. Because when we can't feel a distinctive change taking place, it just increases the amount of anxiety and uncertainty in your life. So one of the best things to do with that one is understand that, you know, pray on your government to do the right things, pray on knowledge and discernment that people will put aside their differences and come in to do the right things, and which they've done. We have to still, you know, congratulate in some ways through the mess, through the craziness, that, you know, a lot of agencies came together to bring us a cure, because this feels like an existential, you know, crisis in a lot of ways. So in a lot of important ways, prioritizing to understand why, what perceived stress is, what are your kinds of perceived stress, and how do they maybe influence your health, your emotional health. That will actually then help you just do better and let go of the situation. And honestly, part of the reason I'm also here is because I was a perfectionist, like I said, but my body broke down due to the amount of pressure I was putting on myself. And coming from a national swimming background, I was used to ignoring maybe my body's needs, or I chose to ignore my body's needs. And this belief was partially accepted maybe in parts of the athlete world, meaning my small world normalized what it meant to sacrifice emotional health in the pursuit of a medal. And then obviously I stopped collecting medals, and, you know, so I started going after career concepts, reading, not sleeping, not looking after myself. And so my body physically just capsized. It was like, nope, we're not moving. And it was a really tough period for me, because it came at the wrong time. You know, you always feel like, why is this coming now? There's never a right time, especially when you're not looking after yourself. It just means that it was building up to that certain point where I was physically unable to do anything anymore. So that's also why I'm here, because long before this situation, this global moment that we're in, this is a normal occurrence. The mental health that is your life is very important regardless of the situation that is taking place globally. And this is healthy when done in, it can be healthy when done in a constructive way. It's being competitive, let's say, in securing your emotional health first. However, let's be honest, how many of us pay attention to these small things like weight gain? Pay attention to weight gain and saying that I actually still have low self-worth and it's contributing to my weight gain. I've been busy running, chasing after this project and sacrificed my body for it. Weight gain, I'm really disappointed that relationship didn't work out, that job didn't work out, and not fitting in, and so you gain weight. there's a lot of reasons for a disruption in your emotional health. And so it's the way to take back that power is by creating a constructive belief and constructive habits to help you overcome it. So let's should write down. I spoke a whole lot about, you know, just the adequacies and the in-depthness of emotional stress. But right now, I just want to talk about, I want to highlight some key points that describes emotional health and physical clutter, sorry. And one of them is the fact that you just feel very uncertain. Your brain is all over the place. It's always easy to spot. Physical clutter is not easy to spot. Sorry. And we wish it was, because I don't know about you, but I find myself attached to one type of organized mess. So I'm still with you guys on this one. You know, I'm a human being as everybody else is. And sometimes I feel like helping myself and then also researching helps me to better maybe write an in-depth and more heartfelt article. But I remember once I returned home from, I lived in the Norman, Oklahoma for quite a while doing my studies, and then I returned home to Eswatini. So now I was experiencing reverse culture shock. A lot of people were telling me that reverse culture shock is a thing, but I think I was more adamant about returning home than I was focused on maybe paying attention on preparing myself emotionally to the return home. And fun fact, I cried over, I don't even like what you call this, the sauces that I use, let's say in like your meats and some of the meat products, but I found myself at Spur, okay? Here in Eswatini, we went to Spur, the Spur here in Manzini, Eswatini, and they gave me blue cheese ranch. Now in the US, people love ranch. Like I didn't understand why they love ranch, but I was there like, ranch. You know, oh my god, like chugging down like blue cheese ranch in the middle of the restaurant. And like the crazy thing is, my friend had been in the USA, so she knows what I'm going through. She took me to Spur so that I can have like American food, and she looked at me like I was crazy when I was like shoving down blue cheese ranch down my throat, you know what I mean? Like, but anyway, whatever. So I was like, you forgot, you're forgetting, okay? I just need to be like, I need to feel normal again. Because what happens with reverse culture shock is the place where you felt like you should be the most normal person, people treat you more like an alien. And so I was treated more like an alien. And this blue cheese ranch, man, it made me just remember Norman, Oklahoma, and Campus Corner. Just shoving down this sauce down my throat. And then like at the end, I asked the restaurant owner, can I please have some more, like your whole bottle? I'm gonna be here every lunch break. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so I couldn't handle the reverse culture shock anymore. There was a point where I was just really overwhelmed by the demands, people not really understanding that I'm actually not rude. You know, the funny thing is, in the US, if you adapt, Africans speak like maybe 100 words and Americans speak 50 words. And what was really ironic and funny for me, I sat in a meeting once where there was an American individual and Africans. And I understood the American individual. Okay, you said 50 versions, but the African feels like you have to say 100. And it's not only Africa, it's anywhere where there's a non-Western, it's a non-Western communication. So what I also didn't realize is that maybe to adapt and evolve and be understood by Americans, I then learned how to speak 50 words, 20 words. And so at home, it's like they look at you like, why are you so rude? How? You talk to your auntie like that? And then you're like, what? When did rudeness come into this equation? And so, you know, that's exactly what I'm saying, you know, a misconception of other people and having to teach other people. And then I remember taking that class. So then I had to, some people were like, listen here, let me tell you something, okay? I lived in the US and for long enough to realize that, okay, after I took that class, I was like, oh, okay, so speak 50 words and you'll be understood. You don't have to be repeat. People don't have to repeat you. And then I realized they were doing the exact same thing. So when I was sitting in the meeting, I noticed the American was getting frustrated because they would be like, oh, what she meant to say is, and I'm literally, at first, I was also getting irritated before I noticed the American, because I was like, that's literally the same thing. She just like, literally, he just literally said the same thing. I mean, can we move on here? Why are we having a 2-hour meeting for something that was meant to be 30 minutes, you know? And then I look over the table like, oh, only to see that the person feels exactly the same way. And I was like, oh, I'm still there. I haven't evolved into maybe the mannerisms that are common here. But in the midst of that, I was getting emotionally overwhelmed by the demands that I was experiencing to adapt and evolve to being more, let's say, Swazi, as opposed to having... I would say diction. It's not like I had American behavior, but like the diction, the manner in which they speak. I had more of that. So got fed up. I was like, no, F everybody, pack my bags in my suitcase, and I refused to unpack my clothes. It was the only thing that I felt like I could have control over. What, my clothes, you know what I'm saying? Or just like my personal space in my room. I didn't want anybody coming into my room. It's not your room. It's my room. I will clean it. And so that kind of is like a result of like the emotional overwhelm became like emotional clutter, because my personal self-conception was being, I was wrestling with my self-conception. I'm not rude. I just, how is that rude? Like, do you understand? I said 50 words. You guys talk for 5 hours. You know, and so that's why I know when I say sometimes it's about taking ownership of who you are. I was here now in Eswatini. I was no longer in the United States. So I had to maybe spend a little bit more time being patient so that I could learn that, you know, it's normal to have 5-hour conversations, you know, and not freak out by why is it taking so long to, you know, finish the sentence. That was one sentence. That was one sentence, guys. That was, wow. And, you know, so I had to overcome that impatience and then also then just go back to adapting and evolving to the environment back at home. So, yeah, I had my bags in my suitcase, okay? So I just want to take a break for a second. And so that's why physical clutter is not clear. But I have this really amazing, just not a short story, but like it's entitled Finding God in Healing Spaces. I'd really love for you guys to go read it on my blog post. It honestly is just about, it's a Bible verse from Isaiah 43, 2-4. You can either read it there or you can read it, just go and Google that one, Isaiah 43, verse 2-4, and that one is all about, you know, if you go through deep waters, and I feel that's uncertainties, when you go through rivers of difficulties, you will not drown. That one is just all about the relationship that God has with you guys. And just to, and then it continues back into, you know, I went real mad crazy, okay, when it came to my bags. I don't know why that became the center of my focus. You know, I need to control, you know. Even how they wash my clothes, you can't wash my clothes unless there's baking soda. I mean, I literally was just, yeah, I was having quite an interesting reverse the culture shock. And so that has opened me up to understanding what it means. But if, let's say, I could go back and talk to my reverse culture shock cheese drinking blue cheese ranch drinking girl, I would definitely say you have a lot of brain fog happening right now. A lot of things were rushing through my head, such as a focus, drink, getting a new job, and that one influenced my journey. So the one thing that I would definitely advise myself, my former self, and advise you today is sometimes the overload of feelings creates a fog, literal fog in your brain, and that inhibits your ability to think clearly, be more understanding and be more loving, you know, just a nice person maybe. And also, like I said again, taking ownership for the fact that, you know, I had quite changed maybe from that period of time that I was in the US. I do talk in short words, whereas these guys have 5 hour one sentence words. So let me try 2 hours of one sentence, you know. Baby steps. So the tip that brain fog has is why I love brain fog is because it encourages you to just write things down, jot things down. It's not about being coherent or making sense. It's all about just taking whatever is in your head out. I feel frustrated. I feel irritated. What on earth is this? Why is this happening? Why is that not happening? I really want this. I want to achieve this dream. I want that dream. I want that dream. This. It's actually also really super duper powerful, especially if you're on a lot of projects like myself right now. Brain dumping is actually very good to help you then project manage, because then you realize that, okay, first of all, you know, you are going for some crazy ideas. Let's say a crazy idea is you're running a $1 million project, and three of them. One of them can actually start in 2022. Why does it have to start in 2021? It's really, really not that necessary. And why are you picking on so many projects? Oh, I have a fear of failing. Oh, I'm disappointed here. I'm scared here. I'm scared here. I'm scared here. And then if you just look back into the journal, then you realize, oh, I'm actually kind of scared to start anything. So I'll start everything. And then that will help you maybe to project manage, shift one of the projects to 2022. Focus on your healing, focus on your recovery so that you can live a life of breakthroughs in this moment in time. Definitely go in there. I go much more in depth on my blog post. If you like, just shoot straight down into the tips about how do you feel, as well as how to identify a foggy brain. And then another cool tip that I do have is sometimes when you're feeling like that, always stand up. Go and stand up. Go take a walk. Go stand outside in the sun. Stand outside in the sun, okay? And then go and drink some lemon. If you love rosemary, put a little bit of rosemary. Go and bring rosemary with you wherever you are. And then have like lemon water and rosemary and honey. Honey is very good for eliminating brain fog in your head, increasing the productivity of your brain function. So those are kind of the things that you can do. That's actual self-care, you know what I'm saying? I got bored. You can get bored like myself sometimes and then put makeup on. But putting makeup on is not really going to eliminate the brain fog. That lemon, rosemary, and honey will actually help you realistically, whilst walking away, physically remove yourself from, let's say, something that is stressing out, will then give you the clarity that you need. So when you come back to your desk, or when you come back to your room, whatever conversation that you're with individuals. And sometimes another cool tip is to look down at yourself, to physically center your body, take a deep breath, and then et voila. Journaling is really good. Journaling is also really good because it's going to help you refine yourself and reframe yourself, and then also let go of certain things. That one was also really effective. So I went from chugging blue cheese ranch and then thought, you know, that's going to be weird. I'm always here just chugging this ranch, to being like, okay, I'm in a new environment. I'm back home. I didn't realize how much I had changed. So let me just journal to let go. And it's not like letting go of my experiences and who I am. There are definitely some character traits that I do love and appreciate for being in the US. I was a very strong woman. I was very outspoken. So sometimes culturally, you find that you were dismissed for being a very outspoken woman here in Eswatini, because women are, you know, they're quiet, they're timid. You know, there are a lot of women that are quiet and timid. But when I was in the USA, they encouraged more of that. They said I was in an environment where they encouraged more of it. Being back here, there's a lot of projects that have to be done and require that bold personality, that bold, strong woman. So that one, I said, okay, wrote that one down, and that I want to keep. other things maybe as a result of being an immigrant, you know, feeling at last sometimes, maybe those ones you can let go. And that also goes for you. There's some certain things maybe that you might be feeling that you can let go. Just, and journaling will help you identify the ones that you can let go of. And I do encourage you guys to take that on. Take it on so that you can empower yourself each and every day. And as always, I named my blog post, the section of my blog post and on my Pinterest page, growth opportunities, because ideally at the end of the day, growth opportunities is about creating spaces of self-love, self-healing, and self-growth. So I really hope that you enjoyed this newsletter. I mean, enjoyed this podcast episode. And if you did enjoy it, continue the conversation with me by commenting below on what you want me to talk about more. Commenting on my social media pages. My Pinterest page is pinterest.com/BLK Couture. My Facebook page is BC Brands SZ, only because they took the Black Couture. And then my Instagram page is Black Couture, and it's Black Couture, sorry. It's BLK underscore Couture Brand. So again, my Instagram page is BLK underscore Couture Brand. And if you guys really enjoyed that one, if you really enjoy that one and you really want to get into some of the wellness programs and classes that I'm running, join my mailing group or my WhatsApp group. It's all about you. If you love to text, honey, well, guess what? I love to text too. Join either one of those ones, my mailing group or my WhatsApp group, for bi-weekly. On my WhatsApp group is for weekly, and then on my mailing group it's bi-monthly or monthly newsletters that are focusing on health and wellness and then personal development topics. Thank you once again. My name is Zetuzwane, and I'll see you guys the next time.